Let's pray. Father, as we come before you and we acknowledge that your presence is here and we desire to be in your presence, for your Holy Spirit to continue to search our hearts and woo us and draw us closer to yourself. And so, Lord, we pray that you will have your way tonight through our thinking, through our thoughts, through just our being, Lord, that you will draw us to you, that we will see Christ, that we will hear from you, from your holy word. And, Lord, that you will point out areas where we need to apply and maybe, in a sense, to be filled with praise and adoration and rejoice. In another sense, to, Lord, just to be humbled before you. Another sense, to just renew ourselves to you, allowing your spirit to do that good work which you've begun in our hearts, so that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of you. So, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll speak to us afresh. Thank you for this portion of your holy word, how you declared the good news to Nicodemus and to others and to us. So, Lord, help our ears be attentive, as you have said, that we may hear what the Spirit has to say tonight, and so that Jesus Christ will be exalted and lifted up. This is our desire, this is our prayer, and we thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen. Sunday nights, we've been studying together the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. And so if you have your Bibles, would love for you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this one, we've been going a rhythm of a little slower than I normally go, but it is exciting to dig a little deeper into God's word. We've been studying this together. Peter, as you know, was that apostle that was called Cephas. He was the one that Jesus said, "Hey, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." Peter was the one that said, "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah." And then on the other, a little bit later on in his life, you may recall that Peter was that one who said, "Well, no, Jesus, we don't want you to go to Jerusalem. You're not going to die for us. We want you to reign, you know." And Jesus kind of rebuked him. And then Jesus revealed to Peter, "Hey, you're the guy that's going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And that takes place. And then we discover when Peter and the disciples are in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 and in chapter 2, what happens? Amazing. When he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he becomes courageous. He becomes bold. And he declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is credited for writing two letters here, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And these, as we've learned in chapter 1, are to those who are chosen exiles, elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. So he's writing to believers who have been dispersed, and he's concerned for their spiritual growth and their walk with Christ. And as was common during that day, many who stood up for Christ were persecuted for their faith. And here Peter writes, and he tells them, "Oh, we can bless God. We can bless God." In verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again." You can underline that. "He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him," Peter says, "though you haven't seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That should encourage us tonight that we've been blessed and we can bless God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord because he has given us such a great salvation, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. And because Christ has risen, we who are in Christ will rise again. Hallelujah. But now we're going to verses 10 and 12. And I would say these really fix the thought on the gift of salvation. What's the best gift you've ever received? Now, if we want to be super spiritual tonight, we'll say, oh, Jesus, that's the best gift. But when it's about Christmas time or our birthdays, we might think about gifts. What's the best earthly gift I've ever given? Well, don't know, maybe. You know, what was the best gift you ever gave? And when you were thinking about giving that gift, did you think about it? Did you plan it? Did you purposely and intentionally search and look and investigate it? Maybe the best price, the best way to give it, the best way to present it to the recipient. It is wonderful to celebrate birthdays, and it's wonderful to celebrate Christmas and giving gifts. I remember early years, and I've told this story before, about how I wanted to give a wonderful gift to my wife. And I thought, wow, I know what I could do that would really make her happy. I'll go and get her a purse. Men, don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. I thought, oh man, you know, she carries a lot of stuff in that purse. She's got makeup, she's got pens, she's got notepad, she's got her wallet with money and driver license, and she's just got everything in that purse, you know, napkins if we need it or have a mess or whatever. So I searched. I went, and this was before internet, I went to different stores and I thought, okay, that's going to be, oh man, well, go there. You know, it took a lot of courage because early on, and I still have that way, I don't like going through women's sections. I want that just for women. So, you know, So, anyway, true confessions. So, I found the perfect purse, I thought. Wrapped it up. I said, oh man, this is just gonna blow her away. And it certainly did. It blew her away. She opened it up. And I thought, boy, she was going to say, oh, honey, you're the best husband ever. She said, what on earth are you doing buying me a purse like your mother would have? So I have never bought her a purse ever again out of 38 years. I know, haven't. And men, I would advise you not to do that. In fact, I've kind of, like, I'm going to pick on Marshall now. I kind of pick on Marshall in the sense that I've kind of taken after him a little bit. I like to go get gift cards, right? And I'll give her a gift card now to the store that she likes. And then I let her go. And she can take as much time as she wants, pick out that perfect gift, right? Because I don't want to be rebuked. I want it to be received very well. I want her to be pleased with that gift. Have you ever given a gift? Planned it, presented it to the recipient. How did the recipient respond to it? How was it received when you gave it? Was there disappointment? Was there a half-hearted, oh, thanks? You know, we have the jokes. Don't give your significant other, you know, on their birthday a blender or a frying pan or something that you would like. You know, where there are some things that we're not supposed to do, right? Oh, thank you, honey, for this vacuum cleaner. Yeah, no, right? Half-hearted thanks. Or does that recipient receive the gift with enthusiasm? with joy, and they're surprised and they're blown away in a good way, in a good way, in a good way. Well, God reveals through Peter that this gift of salvation is quite the gift. It's quite the gift. God planned for it long before these believers were even born. God purposed in his sovereign will that mankind, and yes, all mankind, would be blessed by the gospel. The salvation from God is available to all of mankind. God presented this gift in a remarkable way through the virgin birth, angelic hosts of angels declaring that the good news of the gospel, this good news of salvation, is for the blessing and for the benefit of all mankind. You recall the story not too long ago. We celebrated it. Luke 10, 10 through 14 says what? It says, and the angel said to them, fear not, to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. What were they doing? They were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased, with those on whom his favor rests. Remember the first time you heard the good news of Jesus, or that time when you responded to Jesus and you received the gift of faith, the gift of salvation. God was saying, my favor is resting upon you. I'm giving you this gift. Peter now echoes this message to his readers. He reminds them that this gift of salvation, yes, this gift is really a big deal. It's really a big, big deal. Remember that TV show? I know they did a remake of it, that game show called Let's Make a Deal. And they had the three doors, door number one, door number two, door number three. And, you know, they would always say, okay, I'm going to give you whatever it is. I'll give you $75, or you can have what's behind door number one. What are you going to do? And all the crowd goes, oh, open that door, open that door, open that door, right? And then sometimes a person would open that door, and they would play the music, womp, 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 womp. And you knew that it was a lousy gift. It might be they show a donkey there or something. But sometimes they'd open the door and they'd find, oh, you won a brand new car. And people would go nuts. And they thought it was a really big deal. But listen, Peter's saying to these believers here, listen, this is really a big deal. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good of the Savior of the world is communicated to us through the book. That's what he said. So let's notice verses 10 through 12 now. Again, it says, concerning this salvation, concerning this gift, this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Wow. Concerning this salvation, the salvation of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the prophets in verse 10. Boy, I really went fast there. Let's go back. There we are. Bang. The salvation of Christ, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. What did these prophets do? First of all, it says there they searched. They searched, and then they inquired carefully. It just wasn't a haphazard thing. This was what God has planned, and God was revealing it by His Spirit. The salvation, this salvation was the subject of the Old Testament prophecies of the messianic sufferings and glories. The prophets not only spoke to the situation of their contemporaries, but they also spoke of the long-awaited for messianic times. And predicting the future, they did not always understand their utterances. And we can see that through Daniel in chapter 8, verse 27. Daniel says this, "And I, Daniel, was overcome, and I lay sick for some days. And then I rose and went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it." Even when God was revealing by His Spirit to Daniel, who was a great interpreter, had that gift from God to interpret dreams, he received some words from the Lord in the Old Testament times that he did not understand. But we see here that these prophets, they took time to study, and they studied other prophets, and these prophets longed to see the messianic time, and so they searched into what they could know of it. Luke 10:24, Jesus said, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Wow. Concerning this salvation, the prophets declared it. They declared the good news, even though they didn't fully understand it. My brother is a great big sci-fi guy. He loves Star Trek. He really does. But he also likes Star Wars. He really enjoys that. And he likes that, you know, and he would ask you if you got into conversation with him, "Have you ever seen a UFO? Do you believe in UFOs?" And he would tell this one story. One of the stories that he would tell is, "Did you hear about this? That there were these UFOs, and they came, and they abducted this person, and they took him up to their spaceship, and then they released him back down again. And people asked him, 'Well, what did these aliens say to you?' And they said this, 'We just wanted to know why the Creator came and died for these creatures here.'" Kind of interesting. Makes you want to think about it. I don't know if that's true or not. But these prophets, they longed to see what the disciples got to experience. And we now, who are on the other side, have the blessings, the gift of salvation, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We can be fully filled, wholly filled with the Holy Spirit of God, bubbling and overflowing, the living water pouring and gushing in and through us as we sang about tonight. Wow, this salvation, they longed to see it. It was the motivating force. It was not human will, but the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. In 2 Peter, Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The content of the prophecies embraced both the sufferings and the glories of Christ. Both words are plural there, and the Gospels list various aspects of the predicted sufferings of Christ. Christ was hated by people, betrayed by his friend, forsaken by his flock. He was scourged and crucified. His glories include his transfiguration and his resurrection and his glorious return and then his final reign. And we see that the prophets longed for the Messiah. One passage that is very familiar, I'm sure, and you can turn there with me, is Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord. He was a prophet of God and spoke. And he wrote this. He said, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he," talking about the Messiah, "for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Wow. Isaiah was speaking about who? He was speaking about Jesus. He was longing for that day when the Messiah would come and redeem his people. We can see that all throughout the Old Testament. We can see it in the New Testament through the wise men as they were seeking. And we can see it through Simeon as he longed and prayed to hold the Messiah. And we can see it through the apostles, through John, through Peter, and through the apostle Paul. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, they searched, they inquired carefully. We also see the Spirit of Christ. In verse 11, it says, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. The Spirit of Christ, what person or time the Spirit of Christ was working in them, was indicating when he predicted. God was moving in their heart. God was moving at just the right moment, at just the right time, to give his message to his people. It was no mistake. No mistake that Gabriel appeared to Mary. It was God's perfect timing. It was no mistake that the angel spoke to Joseph. It was God's perfect timing. There was no mistake that the angels declared the glory of the Lord in that shepherd's field. It was God's perfect timing. God sent his one and only Son, whom we read about, that all who believe on him shall be saved. It was the day of salvation. The gift was given. And we see that God was moving by his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ was in these prophets of old, and they were in his disciples moving and working, predicting what the Messiah would have to go through, the sufferings of Christ and his subsequent glories that Isaiah 53 spoke about. We see that. And we also see it, Hebrews 2, 9 and 10 says this, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. God, in his sovereign power, raised Christ up because Christ suffered for all. He is crowned with glory and honor. and the subsequent glories of Christ. Christ gave up his glory that he knew beforehand in heaven. Philippians 2, 5, 11 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, as we sang about, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Wow. God did this. We notice in John chapter 17, if you'd like to turn over there, the high priestly prayer, we refer that to, but it was an intimate, powerful prayer that Jesus prayed. And what did he say? He said, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all who have that, to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. This is the gift. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence. Notice the next phrase, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Wow. You see, Jesus willingly gave up all his glory to become human, so that we could know the only true God in Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. Wow. We see in verse 12 of 1 Peter 1, we see here again that it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, But you, they were serving not themselves, but you. These prophets that gave the gift, the good news, these apostles and disciples, these of old who have taught down the line through history, they were not serving themselves, but they were serving others. They were giving the good news. They were being a servant of Christ. It was revealed to them. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. They were serving not themselves. Just as Jesus was walking through and he came to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And the verse 10 is the key verse. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was concerned for Zacchaeus and he was seeking the lost. He was serving in the sense of seeking the lost to give salvation. Here the purpose of the coming of Jesus is fully and finally summed up. It says, a shepherd that goes out and looks for lost sheep to rescue them from danger. Ezekiel 34:16 says, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Applied to God himself and so forth. So Jesus, the Son of Man, is the shepherd of our souls, and he comes to seek and to save the lost. And he gives the good news that any and all who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And these things have been announced, it says, to these believers here. this gift of salvation, through those who preached, just like Peter, the good news. And it was the energizing power of the Holy Spirit to do this. The Holy Spirit, through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, which the angels longed to look. Through the revelation of the prophets, they learned that some of their utterances related to future generations. Their writings contained both near and far aspects, yet the prophets were often unable to understand the significant time of their prophecies or to understand fully the relation of the sufferings of the Messiah to his glory. But the word serving is significant, for it points to the fact that the writings of the Old Testament serve the writings of the New Testament. And it centers on Christ and his salvation. The message of salvation has come to humanity through people under the power of the Holy Spirit who has come from heaven. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to give you another helper, another advocate, another comforter, another teacher who will teach you all things concerning me. And so the Holy Spirit comes, was poured out upon the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And we who are in Christ, we have been given the gift of salvation. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to know more about Jesus, to serve one another, and to honor him. What a gift. What a gift. One day, what a gift, we'll stand before the Lord. And the Lord Jesus will say, that's my son, that's my daughter. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a gift. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. What a gift to worship God in his glory and his fullness, to bring honor and praise to him. What a gift. No one can take away. So we say outwardly this temple is fading away, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. What a gift. So the question is, what is the Lord saying to us tonight? How have I received his gift of salvation? Have I received his gift of salvation? And if I have, how have I received it? Did I begrudgingly receive it? Well, I'm just going to say this prayer really quick. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of my sins and I'm going to follow you there. Are you satisfied? No, that's not our heart desire. How have we received the gift? Am I humble before the Lord? And yet I'm enthusiastic, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited to receive God's gift. Can you imagine if you were Simeon in the temple courts every day longing to see the hand of the Lord, the Messiah? And then finally you see Mary and Joseph come in and they walk in and then all of a sudden you see Christ as a baby and you get to hold Christ as a baby. Wow, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Simeon this says, Lord, you've blessed your servant. I can depart because now I've seen your salvation. Wow. He was excited, he was enthused, and he was humbled as he held Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Am I willing to let God use me to speak his salvation to others? Will I share the good news with others? Sometimes we sit back in our culture and we say, well, that's the preacher's job. That's the paid religious people. Or we excuse ourselves and we say, I don't have the gift of evangelism. We're just to be a witness, to tell others what Jesus has done for us. What has Jesus done for you? He set me free. He's broken the chains that have bound my soul, that has kept me from being in a complete oneness with God, the Creator. He has set me free so I can know him. Will I share the good news? Am I empowered by the Holy Spirit, allowing God to speak in and through my life? Like those prophets of old. Have you read some of the Old Testament prophets? I'm telling you, I am so thankful that God has not said, oh, I want you to be like Jeremiah. What, Lord? Yeah. You're going to get arrested and I'm going to throw you down a cistern. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. You know what a cistern was? It was like being in a septic tank. It was awful. Jeremiah went through a lot as a prophet of God. But am I willing to allow God to speak in and through my life, no matter what the results is, like the prophets of all, because I want to please and honor him? Has God's gift of salvation, how has his gift of eternal life, his spirit within you, how has he changed you? For Peter, he's telling these believers, listen, God had a plan long ago, and he has brought fulfillment of it through Christ, this salvation. And he says, earlier he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then he tells them a therefore in verse 13, but we'll get to that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and how, Lord, it wasn't just a haphazard plan. It wasn't just plan B or C or D or default. Lord, it was from your infinite goodness and love and mercy and grace and your sovereign will that you planned to rescue mankind through the gift of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. What a gift. The gift of salvation. Lord, we thank you that to all who believe, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, we thank you for that gift. And we pray, Lord, that as you have resonated or given your beautiful Son to us and we have received him by faith, Lord, that we too will be a herald of the gospel. We will be a proclaimer of the good news. We will tell others what Jesus has done for us. Just like a little child who opens up a gift that they've longed to have and they're so excited, they play with it, and then they may want to share that gift and tell others about that wonderful gift. Lord, may we too have that enthusiasm that we will tell others about your great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you. We praise you. We rejoice. We are exceedingly glad, and we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.